Hi, love, and welcome to Listening to Your Gut. My name is Kelly Bluth, and I am a certified holistic nutritionist with a passion and purpose in this life to educate and serve others, like you. As a woman with two autoimmune conditions, I have found the power in embracing a holistic lifestyle to support my overall well-being. In each episode, I will share inspiration, tips, or research-proven strategies that will help you to listen to your gut literally and figuratively. Together, we will work to honor our mind, body, and soul through holistic wellness. I am so pumped we are on this journey together. Let's dive in. Hello, 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 and welcome back. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode with my man, Jeremy. I felt it was time for him to come back on and do a podcast with us. And, the whole intent of that, of course, was really just to shine a light on how, no relationship is perfect, but also how we are constantly working on improving our relationship. So I hope that helps you to feel a sense of relief in that, there are relationships out there that are, in fact, all relationships, in my opinion, are not perfect. And, we're constantly working on making our relationship better, knowing full well that it'll never be quote unquote perfect. But hopefully it just gives you a little sigh of relief that like, hey, yeah, we're human too, right? Like we have struggles just as much as anyone else does. So I think that is, I think that could be reassuring for you. But anyways, I am back this week with a solo episode for you. And I really wanted to talk about this topic of chronic burping and gas. I feel like we maybe hear a lot more about this during the summer months. Probably my guess would be because we are more inclined to indulge, right, in things that maybe we wouldn't typically, summertime. So we engage in things or we eat things that we maybe don't typically do just because it's summertime. I'm referring to things like, sweet treats, maybe a little bit more alcohol, things like that. And all of those things can, of course, play a factor into our overall health. Now, again, I'm not saying don't have those things. Absolutely. You're entitled to, and you should be able to eat what you want. But we also just have to be mindful of how those things can and will affect our health overall. If we're, eating them or consuming them on a fairly regular basis. So that being said, I want to dive into the 9 common causes. So some of the common causes of burping and gas and their connection actually to the gut. So there's going to be 9 that we go through today. And then after that, I want to share with you some suggestions that I have for helping to reduce and or eliminate this chronic burping or gas that you actually may be experiencing. And then, if those things don't work, let's say you end up trying those things and you're like, yeah, that's not cutting it. That could be a sign that there is a bigger issue going on in your gut. Maybe something like, a bacterial overgrowth or a parasite. So some of the common things, which I've had them all, would be H. pylori, SIBO, and Candida. So some of those things, we might want to then opt to test for, and I'll share with you some of the things you can ask for from the doctor to be able to test for those things. So we'll cover it all. I want to cover all the bases, so that you are informed. That's where we're headed. So let's go ahead and dive into that right now. So the first one I'm going to talk to you about in terms of a cause that could result in your burping or gas that you're experiencing would be fermentable foods. Okay. Now there are quite a few fermentable foods out there. Several fruits and veggies can be classified as being fermentable. I always think of kombucha and sauerkraut as two things right off the bat that I think of as fermentable foods. Particularly because I don't enjoy either of those, but I know that they are fermentable. And so what happens is if you're consuming fermentable foods, there's potentially, you know, you may potentially not have enough stomach acid to process those fermentable foods. And we need stomach acid to help us break down and process foods. And so then the name fermentable comes from the fact that they're actually fermenting in your gut, meaning they're just like sitting there and festering, right? Which then gives off this gas, which then can cause either the burping or the flatulence, the gas that you experience. Okay. So that would be one common cause of this burping and gas that you might be experiencing on the regular. Okay. Number two would be carbonated beverages. Wow, I can't speak today. Blah, 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 blah. Carbonated beverages. So, of course, those are things like, you know, your sodas, your sparkling waters, you know, the things of that nature. And so carbon, there's those things, of course, contain carbon dioxide, but there is an excess or abundance of carbon dioxide in your body when you consume those beverages, which means that you are oftentimes you're more likely to experience that burping and gas because that gas has to go somewhere. And so it either goes down and out or up and out, right? to give you a little visual. So that would be number two, is carbonated beverages could be causing that for you, especially if you're drinking those on the regular, right? Or consuming them. And then number three would be low stomach acid. So we've already talked about that. And you're going to see that low stomach acid is like a reoccurring theme here. So we'll talk about that towards the end a little bit more. But low stomach acid, you know, so you should have an adequate amount of stomach acid in your body to adequately process food effectively, right? And if you are not producing enough stomach acid, which typically means there's some sort of gut dysbiosis going on, then this low stomach acid that you have is going to allow bacteria to build up in your stomach. And then food stays there longer in the stomach. And ideally, your food really should be in the stomach for between 30 minutes to maybe 2 to 3 hours before it, you know, then moves on to the intestines to be further processed. And so if, you know, your food is sitting there, again, it's going to ferment, right? If you have low stomach acid, it means your food is not being processed effectively. So it's going to sit there and ferment and cause that gas or that burping again, like we talked about with the fermentable foods. Okay. So those two kind of are linked in a way. You can see the fermentable foods and the low stomach acid are connected there. The fourth one is going to be H. pylori. So we talked about this, you know, just a moment ago. H. pylori is a parasite infection that can be present in the gut. And this is a lot of times present due to low stomach acid. And so this allows these parasites to grow. Now you can test for H. pylori with a stool test. So we'll talk about that at the end as well. And you know, H. pylori was thought to be, you know, up until, gosh, probably the last decade or so, was really, you know, associated with third world countries and poor water quality. But now that actually just isn't so. You know, there's so many different ways, so many different contaminants that we can end up coming in contact with that, you know, unfortunately make us more susceptible to catching this, or, you know, to acquiring this, I should say, this parasite H. pylori. So yeah, low stomach acid can further, you know, hinder the gut in terms of allowing H. pylori to become present and to really, you know, manifest in the gut. So that is, I believe, the fourth one. Number five, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, number five is going to be peptic ulcers. Okay. So these could be caused by H. pylori. And they're basically just when we have a stomach acid imbalance. But, you know, they could also be caused by Advil or ibuprofen. People who take these things, take Advil and ibuprofen on an empty stomach are more susceptible to peptic ulcers. And so it just makes you feel really not great in your stomach and your gut, as well as elsewhere. You know, sometimes it can travel up into your esophagus and just make you feel really and uncomfortable. And so again, these peptic ulcers can come from H. pylori, just having that imbalance of stomach acid in the gut. And then number six would be just stomach acid itself, you know, low stomach acid, which we have talked about. And again, it's this reoccurring theme that if you don't have an adequate amount of stomach acid, you are just more susceptible to all the things, right? To acquiring more dysbiotic states in your gut, as well as, you know, feeling the effects of that, meaning, you know, the bloating, the gas, the burping, you know, and the like. And so then we get to aerophagia, which is this fancy term for swallowing air. Okay. It's when you swallow air, when you're a lot of times nervous or anxious, when people have acid reflux. This happens quite frequently. And so the stomach accumulates air, and the pressure forces our esophageal sphincter to open, and that causes gas or burping. Okay, so the esophageal sphincter connects to our gut, and if it opens, it can cause, you know, burping to occur through the top. But, you know, also if that doesn't take place, it can come out down and out the other end as gas, okay, as in flatulence. And then number eight would be diseases. So by this, I'm talking about a lot of metabolic conditions, things that affect the metabolic functioning. So low thyroid, which, hello, I have that, diabetes, Parkinson's, and then, you know, like I said, other metabolic conditions. And so these diseases can cause burping because they actually slow what's called gastroparesis, which is just a fancy word for slow digestion. So it can slow our digestion through gastroparesis. And this can also then lead to burping and belching or gas. All right. So then our ninth and final common cause of gas and bloating, chronic gas and bloating, would be IBD and IBS, right? So IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and IBD, irritable bowel disease, they're essentially one and the same, right? And so this is where you're hopefully seeing a common theme here. We've got low stomach acid at play, okay? And that is going to then cause weak digestion, because then this is going to slow digestion, and stomach acid is then going from it's going to slow digestion and stomach acid, excuse me, from going to the duodenum, which is our first part of the small intestine. And then that's going to lead to us not having enough bile that gets dropped down from the bile ducts of the liver. And this could cause gallbladder dysfunction. This could also cause pain underneath the right side of your rib cage, which is where your liver is located. And then this can then lead to a whole host of other issues, including, you know, you starting to develop a presence of parasites, right? So maybe H. pylori or other parasites, because you're not getting enough stomach acid to actually kill them off. And then your yeast overgrowth could increase, right? We have yeast naturally present in our body, but yeast overgrowth can start to occur because of this. It's just a breeding grounds for the overgrowth of yeast because our pH is rising inside the small intestine. And because we don't have enough acid and bile to detoxify the small intestine, that can then lead to SIBO, which is where we've got an excess or increase of sulfur and methane gas, which then causes gas, right? Or belching. So you can see how it's just, there's a lot of interconnectedness in these ways that we can see in our lives that belching and or burping and gas could chronically occur for us. So all in all, I just want you to realize that if you're feeling those things or you're having those symptoms of gas and belching quite often, that's typically going to be a sign of imbalance in your digestive system. And so I want to share with you a couple of things that you can do that can help you to hopefully eliminate that for you, or at least decrease it. And so the first thing I would suggest would be digestive enzymes, right? Because stomach acid is part of the digestive enzyme process in our bodies. And so digestive enzymes help us to break down food so that we can not have the food sitting and, you know, fermenting like we talked about in our gut. So I would recommend digestive enzymes. And, you know, you can go to your primary care physician. You can, you know, work with a nutritionist, myself included, a dietitian, a naturopath, like whoever you feel most comfortable with. But digestive enzymes would be a great choice to start with to see if that helps to naturally increase the motility in your gut. As well as ginger tea, that is going to help you with gut motility and increasing gut motility because it naturally contains gingerol, which is a natural component of the ginger root that will help to increase that gut motility. And then if those two things, you know, let's say you try those for a couple months, it's definitely not going to be an overnight thing. So let's say you try it for 3 months and you're like, man, I'm not feeling a difference. That could be a sign that you really need to seek out support from somebody else. And so with that, I would suggest, going again to whoever your trusted person is, your PCP, your naturopath, your dietitian, nutritionist, whoever that may be, and asking for stool testing for H. pylori. You can also find out if you've got candida through that as well. And then for SIBO, you can't actually pick that up, or you can't find out whether you have that through stool testing. So you would have to do a breath test. And so that would be something I would recommend that you ask for if, you try for roughly 3 months would be an ideal range. You try digestive enzymes, you try some ginger tea, and those things are not helping you, as well as, of course, you're monitoring what you're eating and noticing what's causing me to have these symptoms more often. Maybe try to eliminate those for a little bit and see if that is supportive. But if you're doing all those things right and you're moving your body daily and you're just not noticing any difference, then like I said, that is really the time when you want to say, okay, hey, I've tried on my own to do X, Y, and Z things. They don't seem to be providing the support or the relief that I need. So now I need to, bring somebody else into my healthcare and really, see if there's something underlying, like an underlying, root cause here that's at play. Could be, like I said, H. pylori, SIBO, candida, or something of the like. So that is that. I hope this was super supportive and helpful for you. If it was, please make sure that you share it on social media. Let me know that it resonated. Or if you know someone who could benefit from this, please go ahead and take a moment to just send them the link to this so that they can hear this as well. And, as always, I'm so eternally grateful for you and just our connection. So until next time, I hope you have a wonderful week and I will chat with you soon. Thank you so much for joining me today. If this episode resonated with you, please share it with a friend. It is my mission to support as many women as possible, and together we can make that a reality. I am honored to be on this journey together. Until next time, I love you, I'm always here for you, and I'll talk to you soon.